An article I read today is Childhood Obesity Slowly Becoming the Real Pandemic, written by Hayley Simring, nutrition science team lead at the Heart and Stroke Foundation. Hayley, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John, and good afternoon to your listeners.
I suppose the answer to your question is yes, it is.
That's the answer.
I mean, how much so? Or perhaps we should take a step back and say, at what point do you say a child is obese as opposed to a little overweight?
Okay, so to put it simply, overweight or obesity is defined as an abnormal or excessive fat accumulation. So when we're looking at childhood obesity, the Road to Health chart or cards have been used in South Africa since 1973 as a growth monitoring chart. And the weight for length chart shows the body weight relative to the length or height in comparison to the median, which is the green line in the chart. And a child whose weight for length or height is above plus 3, which is a red line, is obese. And a child whose weight for length or height is above the plus 2 line, is orange, which is orange, is overweight. Then with older children...
Okay, with graphs, they're quite difficult to picture when one's talking on the radio.
It is true.
Yeah, let's just move away from that and say, if I were asked, John, there is a growing pandemic of childhood obesity, what do you think are the reasons? My instinctive answer would be, A, children are becoming less active than historically, and B, there is a proliferation of unhealthy and adipose-adding junk food around, which more and more children are eating.
Yes, John, you're correct in both those instances. So the first step is actually to understand childhood obesity. And the most obvious causes are overeating or under-exercising. But like all chronic diseases, the root causes of childhood obesity run much deeper. And these complex causes can be genetic, biological, psychological, social, cultural, environmental, and economic. So if we look at our genes to start off with, we inherit our genes from our parents. And it has been estimated that 40 to 70% of our chance of having obesity is due to our genes. So while our genes influence our risk for obesity, the impact of their contribution can be modified by environmental factors, such as our life choices and habits, which include healthy eating and physical activity.
It seems that one of the problems is that healthy food options are so much more expensive than unhealthy food options, and people whose monthly budgets are very constrained, which is true of a very significant number of South African households.
Absolutely.
Almost literally have no choice about what to eat, and what they can afford to eat will tend, if they have the genetic makeup, will tend to make them larger than ideally they should be.
Yes, John, you're correct. And poverty in South Africa has also been associated with a change in food consumption patterns, whereby healthier foods that you mentioned, such as fruits and veggies, are more expensive than the energy-dense junk foods. And then, as we know, the energy-dense foods are high in fat and sugar, but low in vitamins and minerals. And unfortunately, this becomes the food of choice for those who are living in poverty, as you mentioned.
Obese children have a very good chance of becoming obese adults, and obese adults have a very, very good chance of entering the health system often and seriously. So it is something which public health authorities, the government, perhaps should be doing more about. What would you like to see happening to try and reverse the epidemic of childhood obesity?
Yes, sir. There are many things that we can look at to prevent it. And there's no singular solution for obesity, and involvement of all sectors is needed. So first, I'd like to see the food industry, because they are a vital factor in any potentially successful long-term strategy to prevent obesity. So by producing new products low in energy density and improving the nutritional quality and reducing the energy content of existing products, as well as through advances in responsible marketing and labeling, the food industry can provide foods that are lower in energy but higher in essential nutrients. But the food industry is not the sole factor. The government has shown intent by announcing tax on sugar-sweetened beverages and draft legislation to restrict the advertising of unhealthy foods to children. But swift and effective implementations of these policies are vital. So what I also like to see is that the South African Department of Health have incorporated guidelines into their own strategy for the prevention and control in South Africa of the obesity framework. And childhood obesity is singled out within the strategy as a specific area of focus. And clearly, early intervention should already be addressed during pregnancy and infancy, and modifiable risk factors in the first 1,000 days can inform future research and policy priorities and intervention efforts to prevent childhood obesity.
Hayley, thank you for talking to us. Hayley Simmering is the Nutrition Science Team Lead at the Heart and Stroke Foundations. Why I support in principle the move to make school tuck shops serve only certain kinds of foods. I do understand that there are economic factors at play here, but in as far as it is possible, school tuck shops should only be selling to children those things which are generally regarded as healthy.